I want to, I'm not going to keep you long today. I want to share a word out of the first epistle of Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, page 1539, and the first epistle of Corinthians, I want to look at a very small passage of Scripture and make a few comments because I'm, you know, a bit overwhelmed by what I'm reading in Scripture. As I said, a big focus of my heart these days is not that I'm not concerned in how we are to live our lives and what we are to do in our relationship with God, but the Holy Spirit is so emphasizing on me to look at everything God is doing. Because God, in other words, God first. God first. God first. In the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, Sarah. Did it say that, Sarah? No, it didn't say that. Right. It didn't say in the beginning, Katie. No. It said in the beginning, God. And so much so that everything that I think about is just a time where everything, every situation, every circumstance, everything, I'm thinking God first. Because one of, you know, in the Bible it says that Jesus declared about himself. He said, I am the beginning and the end. He says, I am the first and the last. That's what he said. I am Alpha and I'm Omega. So he said, me first. And what I find is that if I don't watch it, my focus, my concern, my attention, doesn't matter what it is. You know what it's about? It's about me. When I'm driving down the street, and I've said this oftentimes, and I know you will agree, but when I'm driving down a two-lane road, and we come to a stoplight, and I'm behind four cars, and there's no one in the left lane, I'm going to get out from behind those four cars, and I'm going to get in the left lane because I want to be first. You see, we all want to be first. And God comes to us and he says, oh no. Me first. God first. So this is what I'm thinking. So let me get to 1 Corinthians. Father, we thank you now for your word as we come to it. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, help me to communicate what you are saying. Speak, Lord, we pray, to each one of your children, individually and corporately. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. All to the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. As we look at this, just verse 1, we see that Paul was called by God. He was called into this office of apostleship. And Paul recognizes that he was not the one who made himself an apostle. He says he was called through the will of God to be an apostle. This word call means to say in a loud voice, to announce, to demand or ask for the presence of. One I like is to cause to come to mind. To cause to come to mind. In other words, if I came up to you last night, or if I came up to you today and say, why weren't you at the party at my house last night, the barbecue that we had at my house last night? You say, well, no one called me. It'd be hard to come if you never get called. And so what we see here is that Paul says he was called by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. So I said earlier, while we are consumed with what we're doing every day, it is God who has done, who is doing and who will do infinitely more than we could imagine. And all that he's doing, the scripture says, is for our good, our salvation, and his glory. One of those things that he did was he called Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles. An apostle is simply a messenger, simply a herald, someone who goes and takes the message. And in order to magnify the grace of God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to look at the call that God makes upon people's lives. Here we're starting with Paul, the apostle, but we'll move on, as we'll see, to each and every one of us as a believer in Jesus Christ. So what we recognize in verse 1 is that no one can be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, without God calling them to be such. Right? Very important, very simple. If I had to title the message, I would just simply title it Cherishing the Call. Cherishing the Call. Because one of the things that I'm recognizing in my life is the call of God. The call of God. Recognizing that, well, what we'll see in verse 2 as it reads, Paul writing to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So we see in verse 1, Paul was called to be an apostle. In verse 2, we see those people were called to be saints. Now, how many saints do we have in here? We got some saints in here. Now, you and I are called to be saints. What that means is that God initiated something. We all know this. This is salvation 101. This is Christianity 101. Although for me it wasn't. This wasn't explained to me when I first got saved. See, when I first got saved, I thought shortly thereafter that everything that happened in my life as a Christian then now was going to be determined by me. I kind of went into this on Tuesday night. See, when I got saved and when you got saved, maybe some of what happened to you is what happened to me, because you would go to certain classes and you would be told, well, now you know you have to read your Bible. And so everything, the focus began to be on me. Okay, I need to read. Okay. Well, then you know now, but you need to pray too, because you know what the Bible says. Jesus asked Peter, well, could not you watch with me 1 hour? Can't you pray 1 hour, Peter? And so not only do you have to pray, but you need to pray an hour a day. Anybody here, don't lift your hand. Don't lift your hand. Anybody here pray an hour a day? I don't want anybody to lift your hand. But then that's what, I mean, if you were in the church in 1988, you would remember this name, Larry Lee. Anybody remember the name Larry Lee? If I remember the focus of could you not watch 1 hour? Okay, Loretta remembers. And there was this whole movement through at least the American church. There was this whole movement of praying an hour a day. Okay, and so now you had people going into their prayer closets. And they're going to try and pray an hour. Has anyone in here ever prayed an hour a day? I mean, don't lift any hands. But has anyone, consistently, you prayed an hour? Well, now let me tell you something. If it's dependent on you to pray an hour a day, let me change it around. Let me get you out of it. If it's dependent on me to pray an hour a day, beloved, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. You see, because I don't have the strength. I just don't have the strength to do that an hour every day. And so not only that, but have you heard of fasting? Well, you need to fast too. And not only that, but you need to worship God. You know, in the Old Testament, it said they offered a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening, and that offering was worship. Now in the New Testament, we worship God. So you need to worship God. Okay. Ooh, thank you. And so I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to read. That's thank you, Rob, checking off the list. And all of a sudden, guess what? All the focus. Now, God saved me now. He was in one family. When he saved me, I wasn't doing any of this stuff. I wasn't praying, I wasn't fasting, wasn't reading the Bible. But after I get saved, now I got to do all of this stuff in my mind in order to stay saved. And I am going crazy. And now all the focus is on me. Oh, by the way, you ever heard of tithing? Yeah, you got to do that too. And don't miss now, because if you miss, you're under a curse. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I'm like, this thing is really, wow, okay. And so I'm going through all of this, and years go by, and years go by. And then I start hearing a still, small voice. You know, that still small, when you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail. And I started hearing this voice. One day I went to prayer. I'll never forget going to prayer one day. You ever go into prayer where you don't say anything? You know, because early on you're taught you need to go to prayer and you have your list and you go through and ask God for everything you want. That's not prayer. That's not relationship. So one day I go to prayer and I'm broken. I mean, I'm broken. And you would think, now, do I look like I got some testosterone in these bones? You would think I was a woman in that prayer meeting. Because I sat there, you'd think I was Katie on one of her days. Because I sat there and I cried for 2 hours. I just sobbed. And I couldn't pray. I couldn't ask for anything. I didn't want anything. But the reason why I was sobbing was because it was like he walked into the room and he just sat down. And because he was just there, you know, there's something about the presence of God. Some people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him, why? Let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, you aren't going to ask him anything. There will be nothing to ask him. No. You will be overwhelmed by his presence. You will be totally overwhelmed. So I'm sitting in prayer, and I'm telling, for 2 hours, he's just washing over my soul. Just washing over my soul. And I'm realizing something. This is going on now for like a week. And it's going on, and I'm realizing something. And this is what I'm realizing. It's not about you. What a heavy revving. It's not about you. See? You didn't start this. You're not going to finish it. Was it Philippians 1 and 6? He who began a good work. He who began, the first and the last, the Alpha, the beginning, the one who is the beginning, began a good work in you. He's going to do it. He's going to finish it. And so, let me get back to this. It says here that you are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be a saint. Now in verses 1 and 2, God's doing the calling. You and I haven't done anything yet. God is active. He's at work. Listen, he's calling people right now. Just like he was calling you. Just like he was calling me. And we didn't even know it. You know, we have pictures of this in our life. And oftentimes I think about it when I get all tickled now when I see a pregnant woman out here. And I may see her, she's singing to her child. Or the father. That, you know, we do what God does all the time. We talk to the child before the child is even born. Do you know God did that with you? He did it with me. Before we were even born, he was calling us. He was speaking to us. When that child is in the womb, and the doctors will tell you that the child can hear the voice of the mother and hear the voice of the father prenatal. Before the child is born, they can distinguish the voice of the father. Listen, God was speaking to you. He was speaking to me. He's speaking to people right now before they even come into the kingdom. Why? Because of the call. This is the beautiful thing. Everyone God calls comes to him. Everyone. See, you can't get to him unless he calls you. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You can't come to Jesus unless he calls you. This is all God's work. And this is why the call is to be cherished. Just hearing his voice, just knowing that he initiated all of this. He started it. Well, listen, church, if he started it, he's going to see it through to completion. That means what he started was the work of salvation in my life, in your life. Listen, church, physical provision is a little thing in salvation. God is saving your eternal soul, your spirit. He's saving that for eternity. That is a much bigger work. To put food on the table is a little thing. But to save and to declare and to make you and I holy, that is a thing on a whole other order. And so since he is saving us eternally, we must understand, we must know that he's going to provide for everything that we need in this life. Amen? All right, so he said that you and I were called to be saints. In other words, you didn't wake up one day and said, I'll decide I'll be saved today. As a matter of fact, if you were like me, you didn't even know what saved was. If someone said, what is a saint? You would say, that's Simon Templar on television. It was played by Sean Connery and Roger Moore. It's called The Saint. It was a show. Yeah, I remember. That was a saint. Or it's somebody in the Catholic Church is a saint. No. That's not what this is talking about. Saint comes, it comes from the word holy or hagio in the Greek in the New Testament, and it means to be separated unto God. It means to be set aside for God. That's what a saint is a person who's been set aside by God and for God. That's what a saint is. That's what you are. Now, a saint doesn't mean that that person is perfectly holy. Is there anyone in here perfectly holy? No. Because saint does not mean to be perfectly holy. But it does mean to be set aside by God and for God. That's you and I. Paul says that you and I were called to be saints. Verse 2 continues, B says, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God has to call you before you can call him. I'm going to say it again. God has to call you before you can call on God. No one can call on God unless God first calls him. Amen? Because we, as we'll see in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, you'll remember the incident where Adam and Eve sinned against God, and now God comes down into the garden, and Adam and Eve are running as fast as they can to get behind a tree. They're trying to find some place to run from God. The one that they were made to run to, they are now running from. And the Bible says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And chapter 3, verse 9 says this, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you, Adam? Where are you? Now notice, Adam didn't come running out of the bushes before God called. He was running away from God. But it was when God called Adam that Adam could then respond to God. If you see anybody with a hunger and a thirst for God, it is because God has first called them. Because none of us go to God on our own. None of us. Adam and Eve didn't. Terah, who was the father of Abraham, Noah and Haran, he wasn't. He was an idol worshiper whom God called Abraham was, who God called then, as we'll see. So, interesting how the call of God reveals where you are. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam had to have known, I know I'm not where I ought to be, because I'm supposed to be with you. When God called him, he was supposed to be with God. But Adam had to recognize his sin. We're talking about how a person comes to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Adam had to recognize his sin. Adam had to acknowledge that he wasn't where God was and that he could do nothing about it. It was God then who sacrificed for and clothed Adam and Eve to cover their shame. It was God who called them and made a way for them to call on him. Romans 8:28 reads, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it would seem to indicate that everything is based upon those who love God. That the emphasis, if you will, let me read it. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we recognize that God called these people, and they love God. Now, I could take some time and go through any number of illustrations to show you how much I love God. You could tell me any number of stories to illustrate to me how much you love God. And then we could all sit around and boast about, well, I love God more than you love God. But that wouldn't be right, now would it? No, that wouldn't be right. But yet the Scripture says all things work together for the good of those who love God. So it seems as if I have something to boast about. But it says to those who are called according to his purpose. Why do you and I love God? Why? That's it. Somebody just said it under their breath. Yeah. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. So I can't even take credit for loving God. I can't boast in it. Listen, you neither. We can't boast in our love for God. Because if we love God, it only throws the glory and the attention back to God. Why do I love him so? Because he loves me so much. I love him because he keeps pouring his love over me, pouring his love over me, pouring his love over me, so that my love for God is not a product of my doing. It is a product of God's work in my life. Because he loves me, because he called me. And this is why we cherish the call. Why did he call Adam and Eve? Because he wanted Adam and Eve to be with him. God loved Adam and Eve. That's why he called them. They weren't with him. He made them to be with him. He made them to enjoy him. He made all of us. He made all of human creation to enjoy him. And yet so many people are far and away from him. The call. And so now we see in verse 2 that we call on him. He said, those who are called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Now we call on God. God called us. Now we call on God. This is God's order. Only a person whom God has called can call on God. And so in Genesis 3 and 9, we see God calling to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 4:26, it says this, and as for Seth, that's the third son of Adam and Eve, because Cain killed Abel, and Seth was born. It says, and as for Seth, to him also was born a son, and his name was Enosh. So Adam and Eve now have a grandson. And it says, his name is Enosh, and it says this, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So we see the order. God called Adam and Eve, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Same thing happened throughout Scripture. In Genesis 12, you'll remember, God came to Abraham. He said, I want you to leave your country and your father's house. To leave it all, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. He says, you obey me. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. I'm going to make you a father of nations. He said, all the earth is going to be blessed through you. God appeared to Abraham and called him. And in verse 8 of Genesis 12, it says that Abraham built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So God called Abraham, and Abraham, in turn, called on the name of the Lord. Same thing happened in Isaac's life. Genesis 26, the Lord called to Isaac, appeared to him, showed him who he was, said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. I'm going to bless you for Abraham's sake. God called him and revealed himself to him. And in verse 25 of Genesis 26, it says, so he built an altar there, Isaac did, and called on the name of the Lord. Now, you and I have a prayer life. We call on the name of the Lord. And yet, you know, I hear people, you know, we can boast about how long we pray. I already talked about that. We can boast. One lady, the Lord had given her grace to pray 4 hours a day. And literally, it was the Spirit of God prompting her to get up and pray 4 hours a day. And she thought that she went on vacation and stopped praying. And when she came back from vacation, she thought she would just start back up again. When she went in to pray, she couldn't even pray 15 minutes. She was so distraught, was crying and so full of remorse and so forth. She went to Joyce Meyer and said, you know, she got through to Joyce, and you know how Joyce can be, if you know Joyce Meyer. Joyce said, well, sister, what did you think? Did you think you could just put God on hold? Did you think you could just tell him, well, I'll see you when I see you? She said, well, you know, sister, just repent and go on with your life. It's, you know, that's over now. It's over. You know, on the other hand, I had a professor in school at one point who was telling the whole class he prays 8 hours a day in the Spirit. Prays 8 hours a day in the Spirit. I'm like, hold on. What good does it do me for you to tell me you pray 8 hours a day in the Spirit? I mean, what good, is that going to spur my flesh now? So, well, I'm going to pray now. Is that supposed to help me? I'm just saying, is that supposed to help me in the Holy Ghost? What's the goal? Maybe it's to encourage me to pray once. But we can boast about how much we pray, and yet the reason that we pray is that he called us. The reason that we pray at all is that he called us. You know, sometimes, and Thursday night, I believe it was, he still called us. How many of you from time to time can't sleep? Is there anybody in here had a night where you couldn't sleep? I would venture to say everybody in here has had a night that you couldn't sleep. And so my wife was asking me one time, she says, honey, I don't know what it is. I just wake up 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. I said, well, honey, I tell you what, when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's something for me to do. When this boy wakes up 3 o'clock in the morning, it's because somebody's calling me. Somebody's calling me. I thought it was so odd Thursday night when I woke up at quarter to 12, something like that. I had gone to bed fairly early and woke up on the dime, just woke up, could not go back to sleep, and went to my prayer area and just stayed there I stayed there all night, but I just stayed in and out of prayer, you know, talking to the Lord and everything. And I didn't know. But while I was in prayer, there was when this young man who used to play drums in this church, whose father used to be an elder here, who used to be in our youth group, who I took out witnessing, got video footage, all of that. I did not know that at that very moment, he was in the process of dying. It was that night that, because I got a a Facebook from his brother at 7 something in the morning saying, "Pastor Pat, Pastor Pat." And I didn't read it until later that day. But all of that was transpiring the same time when I can't even sleep. And so I'm in prayer. Now, he never came to mind. So I'm not trying to boast about it. I'm just saying that it's interesting how I believe he still calls us. He still calls. Time for us to pull away and to be with him. So, no one can be a saint or a follower of Jesus Christ unless God calls them to be so. Already quoted John 6:44, which Jesus said, "No man can come unto me lest the Father who sent me draws him." John 6:65 reads, "Therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why is that? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is that way because God has called the one who's calling on him. That's why it's that way. God has called the one who is calling on him. You know, if you prayed a prayer like I did that day, September 4th, 1983, at 4 p.m., I'm standing in a dirt field with a tent over in Oxon Hill, Maryland. I'll forget where it was, and prayed, "Lord, I don't know if what this man is saying is true, but God, if you're real, let me know you." He heard that prayer. Because when I asked him to forgive me of my sins, the great burden of guilt lifted off my soul. I knew something had changed on the inside. I had called upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because he had called me. And when he calls you, you will call him. We know it's true because Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." A couple more points. This calling that we have is a holy calling. Not only can't we come to God unless he calls us, but we can't even live a holy life without the call of God. Amen? No one can live a holy life without God calling them to do so. And yet, because God is holy, the very nature of his call is holy. 1 Peter 1:13 through 15 reads, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We can't even live a holy life without God's call. But the beautiful thing is because God is holy, and because he's called us, and because he's living in us, we can live holy lives. Listen, holy living is not just gritting your teeth. "I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." Hello? Anybody been there? Man, our power is nothing. Human willpower is absolutely nothing against the power of the world, the flesh, the devil. I'm sorry. It doesn't exist. But the scripture says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Where does the power lie? It doesn't lie because of me. It lies in me because of Christ. I can live a holy life because Christ is living in me. And he calls me to live a holy life. So it's a holy calling. The holy call of God results in a holy life by those who obey him. Now, it doesn't mean just because God's living in me, I'm not going to have a struggle. not going to have a fight. Oh, there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a fight. But the scripture says here, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. God says, I am the first one in holiness. You follow me. I'm the first. I'm the last. He who began a good work of holiness in your life, he's going to complete it in your life. How do we know that? Well, I would gather to say, and I haven't known everyone in here for 30 years, but I would venture to say this, because this is true in my life. The sins that would have overwhelmed and dominated me 10 years ago are not the sins that overwhelm and dominate me today. Is that true of you? Mm-hmm. Why? Because of your great power? Is it because you know so much? No. It's because a holy God is living on the inside of you. Because a holy God is working in you. And the scripture says, because he's working, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus says, my Father worked and I work. Jesus is the Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God. God works in us, then we work, right? So we see that that it's a holy calling. Last point, that it is also a heavenly calling. It is a heavenly calling. Paul said this in Philippians 3. Verses 12 through 14, he says, not that I have already attained, nor am I already perfected. Lord knows I'm not perfected. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me. Do we realize that Jesus has laid hold of you? You ever feel his grip? Oh, he's got a hold on you. He's got us. You know the song, he's got the whole world in his hand. Now, that's talking about generally. Yes, he does. Has the whole world in his hand. But Jesus said of his followers, he said, you are in my Father's hand, and no one can pluck you out of his hand. That's a specific reference to the church of Jesus Christ, to the children of God, that we are in the Father's hand, and no one can pluck us out of his hand. Paul says, I want to lay hold of Christ for that which he has also laid hold of me. God has laid a hold on your life. That's why the Bible says we're not our own. And so this hold, one of the things that is producing is holiness, but the hold, the destination for that hold is heaven. He's laid a hold of you and I to take us to heaven, to be with him for eternity. Paul goes on and he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. How many of us got some things that are behind us that we need to forget? We've got some things that are in the past that we need to forget about. Okay? We need to let them go. We need to stop trying to change them. We need to stop fretting over them, crying over them. Paul says, forgetting those things. Paul had a lot of things that he could have fretted over. He was witness to, they laid their garments at his feet when they killed Stephen. Paul was a murderer. Hello? Paul had much that he could have regretted over, but he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Then he said this, reaching for. Straining is the definition or the connotation. Straining forward, reaching forth to those things which are ahead. He says this, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, of the heavenly call of God. Listen, one of the things I was, when someone goes on to be with the Lord, it can be very, in our case, for those of you who knew Gabriel and so forth, for someone about 33 years old, that young, I remember him when he was just three. For someone that young, it's emotionally, it's a struggle. You have to something to work through to get by. But when you realize, on the other hand, that God, that each one of us, we have a heavenly call upon us. We have an upward call. There is an upward call on us, church, which means we can't stay here. Now, everybody here loves the idea of heaven, but don't nobody want to go there. I mean, don't nobody want to go there right now because we know we have to pass through a certain valley of the shadow, right? Everyone loves the concept and loves the idea, but Gabriel's fine right now. Matter of fact, he's probably with his dad. He's probably rejoicing. He's probably with, you know, he's fine. But for us, it's difficult, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. But there is a heavenly call upon each and every one of us, and should the Lord tarry, we'll all go that way. But make no mistake, Paul says, I'm pressing forward to that. He says, I'm pressing forward because he says, for me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said at one point, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to stay with you, which would be good for you, but also having a desire to depart and be with the Lord. Then he said this, which is far better. That's what he said. That's what Paul said. And so he says here, I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So you see, God's call is for us to be with him in heaven. The call of the Christian is from heaven and to heaven. The call for the Christian is from heaven and to heaven. And so we keep that in mind when we realize that God called us before we even knew him. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not only did he call present tense, past tense, but he calls present tense. And not only that, but he's calling us into future tense, into his glory of heaven. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the call of God that even when we didn't know it was you, we didn't even know it was your voice, but you were calling us. You were drawing us. You were desiring us and bringing us along the path, Lord, until we met your Son, where you gave us grace to have faith, to believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, rose again the third day, lives evermore to make intercession for us. Lord, that he is our Savior. He is the man of glory. He is the God-man. Father, we thank you, O God, for the ever-present call that is active in our life, calling us into your presence, deeper into your holiness, deeper into, Lord, what it means to be conformed and transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. Thank you that you predestined us, you justified us, you glorified us, that we might be with you. Father, I pray that this work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would continue. Father, that we would be so aware of it, and Lord, that we would glory in the call and cherish the call that you've placed upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. The Lord bless you real good.